You opening your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Several have told me this morning, Brother Roy, I hope you get feeling better. I feel fine. I have felt wonderful since Wednesday, but I don't sound wonderful. Now, I sounded wonderful to Wednesday, but I felt awful. Now, I feel better, but I sound awful, and I'd rather feel this way as the other any day of the week. Friday, we had the Good Friday service at Liberty Baptist. I thought it went well. Had a little lady that came up to me afterwards. She said, I want to compliment you on something. And I was looking, you know, for her to say something magnifying about the message of the Lord. She said, you sound like Jimmy Stewart. Don't think I sound like Jimmy Stewart. I think I sound like Mr. Haney off of Green Acres. But nevertheless, we're in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I've entitled this sermon, The Rock That Rolled. This sermon is just as expositional as any sermon I'll ever preach, but it's a different type of exposition I'm going to be doing today. The Rock That Rolled, from Matthew 28, verse 2. Matthew 28, verse 2. Honestly, pray that I have the voice to complete this today. Jared Arnold, you're on the front row. If my giddy-up go gets up and leaves, I'm going to call you up here, point to the place in my outline, you just pick up and run with it, okay? For generation upon generation upon generation, families had buried their dead, and the grave had swallowed those bodies whole. Who could possibly give hope beyond the grave? Would death continue its seemingly never-ending march? I've heard it said all my life that death is part of living. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Death was brought about by Adam's fall into sin, and ever since, all his descendants have suffered physical death. Death isn't a part of God's natural order. It's brought about by man's sin, by man's rebellion against our holy God. But thank God for the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who brought about the defeat of death for the believer. Paul writes this glorious truth in 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter, verses 45 through 49, the apostle said, and so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first Adam was of the earth, made of dust. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly believers. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Church, aren't you thankful that death isn't the end? As a matter of fact, there's another way to look at it. Death is actually the beginning of our real glorified lives in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. And we're gathered at Laurel Creek Baptist Church this morning to celebrate the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection that ensures our resurrection. I want us to begin by looking at verses 1 through 8 once again. And I'm going to come back, good Lord willing, to verse 2. And I'm going to focus on verse 2 for the rest of this message. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, cause and effect, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. I believe when his feet touched the ground, that caused the earthquake. And came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you so." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now go back with me, if you would, to verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." The women seeking to embalm Jesus' body had at least three difficulties this morning. First, the stone itself was huge. As a matter of fact, they were discussing on the way to the tomb exactly how they were ever going to get that stone out of the door. A second difficulty, it was stamped with the seal of the Roman government and thus could not legally be moved. Third difficulty, it was watched over by the temple guard. Mankind had three spiritual barriers when it came to death. Barrier number one, death itself is a huge stone not to be moved with the strength of a normal human being. Barrier number two, death had entered the world as a penalty for Adam's offense against God's law. How could God's curse ever be removed? Barrier number three, God's seal of vengeance was set upon that tomb's mouth. How could God's wrath ever be removed because of man's sin? Well, the women found the answer this morning. When they came to the tomb, yes, they came to the tomb, but it was empty because Christ had risen. There is another life. Bodies are going to live again because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Folks, may we wipe our tears from our eyes, because the believer's grave is no place for eternal mourning. The grave is our passage into immortality. It's but a dressing room where our old bodies of our earthly journey are going to be put aside, and our glorified resurrection bodies will one day come forth to meet Jesus in the air. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward for that event. And I wouldn't care if it took place in the next 30 seconds. But I want us to learn more about this stone and what this stone can teach the Christian today. First thing we notice about this stone is it was taken away. Note the massive stone, the Bible says, was rolled away. It wasn't merely unhinged. It wasn't simply flung aside. It wasn't simply opened. It was rolled away from the door altogether. Death's prison was now missing its door. Folks, the saints of God will now enter into the grave, but we're never going to be shut in as was Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of Samson when he spent the night in Gaza, enemy territory. He got up the next morning, and on the way out of that pagan town, he rips up the city gates. The Bible says, doorpost and all, throws them across his shoulder. He traveled approximately 12 to 14 miles and just dumped them off in the countryside. I don't know about you, I'd have loved to have seen that. And I'd love to have heard the gossip the following week. I would have loved to have seen him carrying those city gates over the hillside into far away. Folks, that's what Jesus did when he came forth from the grave. Death has been robbed of its power over the believer, because when Jesus exited that tomb, he took death, doorpost and all, placed it upon his shoulders and carried it away. We're going to be living forever in the presence of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And never forget that Jesus died for our sins. Our sin debt was imputed to us so that on the day of judgment, we're going to be standing before the Lord with his righteousness imputed to us. We're not going to enter the gates of heaven based on our righteousness. We're going to enter the gates of heaven based on his righteousness. He took God's wrath that should have been poured upon us, and he substituted himself in our place. His body was placed in the tomb. Mourners were present. Yet the Bible says he rose again for our justification. My friend, if Jesus hadn't fully paid our sin debt as believers, he would have remained in that grave. If Jesus hadn't made effectual, total, and final the atonement, he would have continued a captive in the tomb. But he had done all that needed to be done. That's the reason he says from the cross, "It is finished." What? The work of the atonement is finished. It has been completed once and for all. There's nothing else that can be added to that. Spurgeon says that he rose in his own power, but he didn't leave the tomb without a sacred permit. An angel from the court of heaven was sent down to roll the stone away. And Jesus, completely justified, rose to prove that all his people are in him, and those that are in him are completely justified this morning through Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Child of God, as a result, the grave will never be able to hold us in. And as soon as we breathe our last breath, our spirit goes to be with Christ, and our bodies are going to rest for a while in the grave, but for a little while. And on the day when the Lord splits the eastern skies, our spirits are going to be reunited with our glorified bodies, and we're going to descend with the Lord in the air. Isn't that going to be glorious? So the stone was taken away. Secondly, the stone also stood there as a memorial. In the Old Testament, God's people set up stones for a memorial. The American Indians, the ancients across Europe, would often set up stones as memorials. If you remember the story of Joshua, when the Israelites entered the Promised Land after they had crossed into the Promised Land, God told them to set up a stone. Told them to whitewash it. And then he told them to write the Ten Commandments on that gigantic rock. And the people did that. Why? As a memorial that God had done what he told them he was going to do. He brought them to the Promised Land. He placed them in the land of promise. The Roman and Jewish leaders thought they had done away with our Lord. Grimly did they smile as they saw his shrouded body placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. But their joy was fleeting. Their boasting was brief because at God's decreed moment, the one who could not see corruption rose and came forth from that tomb. My friend, the temple soldiers felt like matchsticks. This passage tells us that they fell to the ground. Why? Because of the holy presence of God. The hounds of hell let out their screeches, and the old dragon's head was absolutely stomped that morning when Jesus came forth from that grave. And the stone stood as a witness to all of this. So the stone is a monument, complete with an angel perched on top of it. Could you imagine that? And the Bible says he shone forth like the sun, and he just goes up there on top of that stone and takes a seat. And we have to fight sin every day, but Jesus has overcome it. We're tempted by Satan, but Christ has defeated him. And if the Lord tarries his coming like our fathers, we're going to one day pass on to meet our God. But folks, death is defeated. Death already has been defeated, and we should have no cause of fear for death whatsoever as believers. The Lord's victory is a guarantee of our victory. Jesus himself has promised to be with you always, and he adds, even to the end of the world. We're going to ultimately overcome how? Through the blood of the Lamb. So the stone was taken. The stone is a memorial. Preacher, what's in that coffee container? Granny's miracle cure. The stone was taken away. The stone is a memorial. Thirdly, this stone is a foundation for Christian faith. This stone is a foundation for Christian faith. The fact of the resurrection, if you get down to it, is the keystone of the Christian faith. Disprove the resurrection of our Lord, and our holy faith would be a mere fable. There would be nothing for our faith to rest upon if the one who died upon the cross didn't rise from the tomb. Thus says Paul, and once again in 1 Corinthians 15, if I remember correctly, you would be yet in your sins, while they also which have fallen asleep, all the Christians that have passed on, would have perished in Christ if he hadn't risen again. But if Jesus rose, this glorious gospel is what it professes to be. If he didn't rise from the dead, it would be nothing but deceit and a delusion. Brothers and sisters, that Jesus rose from the dead is a fact better established than almost anything else in the history of the world. The witnesses are many. They were from all classes and conditions. None of them ever admitted that they were mistaken or deceived. Think about it. Those disciples preached that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and because of that, all but one died. Well, John eventually died, but he died in exile. But they all died for it. They were willing to die for it. I don't know about you. I'm somewhat a fan of the Babylon Bee. Well, Brother Roy, I don't even know what that is. Go home, Google it. You'll love it. But they had a skit on there. One of my pastor friends sent it to me this week, and it's about, you know, a lot of sarcasm, a lot of irony used here. Jesus didn't rise from the grave, but the disciples are meeting about what they're going to lie and tell the rest of the world. And it keeps coming back to this. Did you say we're going to die because of this? And he'd tell them, yeah, but we're going to do that. But you did say we're going to die because of this? Folks, people aren't willing to die for a lie. The disciples weren't lying. But not only the disciples, there was over 500 at one time who saw him. Over 500 people can't be deluded. They were persuaded that the resurrection was true because it is fact. Many of them died martyr's death. They could have simply recanted their faith and been spared. But they chose a horrendous death rather than forsake their faith, which was anchored in their seeing the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. They had nothing to gain and everything to lose. Their profession of seeing the resurrected Christ neither brought them wealth nor honor in their day. They were truthful, common people who testified that they had seen, that they had touched, that they had eaten with, that they had adored the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. These same apostles saw him ascend back to the Father in the clouds. They rested in him. They believed in him. Paul said that if Jesus had not risen from the grave, they would have been of all men most miserable. If he hadn't risen, they would have still been in their sins. If he hadn't risen, his atonement would not have proved sufficient. My friend, are you resting your everlasting hopes upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave? Brother Roy, I'm a good person. That ain't gonna cut it. Brother Roy, I've been baptized. That ain't gonna cut it. Brother Roy, I try to live a righteous life. That ain't gonna cut it. Brother Roy, I don't cuss and I don't swear and I don't drink and I don't dip and my husband doesn't either. That ain't gonna cut it. The only way you will ever enter the presence of our holy God is clothed in the righteousness of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Do you trust him? Do you believe that he both died and rose again? Do you place your entire hope of salvation upon Jesus Christ and upon Jesus Christ alone? Brother Roy, that's being awfully exclusive. It is. The gospel is, it always has been exclusive. If you have, if you've trusted in him, you have a foundation against which the very gates of hell will never prevail. But if you're trying to build upon anything that you have done, you're building upon the sands, and one day you're going to be swept away in the righteous judgment of God. Oh, that you would build upon this living stone, upon Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would rest in him, this tried and trusted cornerstone through faith in Christ alone. Will you be so blessed this morning? We see something else. This stone also points to rest provided. It also points to rest provided. When the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, even the angel rested upon it. The angel descended, the angel rolled the stone away, Christ came forth, and then the angel sat down upon the stone. What about the Jewish guards? So much for the Jewish guards. So much for the government cell. So much for death itself. If this silent angel were to have spoken, I like to think he would have said something like, come here and rest as well. You ever been sitting on a seat or on a bench and you sort of pat the side of it? Come here and sit beside me. I like to think that angel would have patted that rock with his head. Roy, come over here and sit down beside me. Could you imagine the scene? My friend, there is no safer, fuller, better rest for the soul than in the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And he will live forever. Oh, come and sit upon the stone, which tells us that we shall rise again. Perhaps you're in bad health this morning. Perhaps you haven't been given that long to live. Flee to this stone. Take a seat. And remember that death has lost its terror, for Jesus has risen from the tomb. If you're weak and trembling this morning, come and have a seat and breathe defiance into the face of death. You might be broken. You may have one foot in the grave, but you can come to the stone and listen to the words of this angel that he said to these frightened ladies in verses 5 and 6. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Folks, think about it. Oh, what a refreshment for our souls. Our precious Lord Jesus Christ is risen indeed. He is alive and well, and he's at the Father's right hand, from whence he intercedes for all of God's children. So the stone was taken away. This stone serves as a memorial. This stone is a foundation for the Christian faith. This stone points to rest provided. But this stone also foreshadows ruin. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, our champion, came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And during his life on earth, the Lord dislodged a stone here and a stone there in Satan's massive castle. The sick were healed, the dead were raised, the poor had the gospel preached to them. But on Resurrection Sunday morning, Satan's huge fortress trembled all the way from the top all the way down to the bottom. The foundation was cracked. Aren't you glad for that? The sick were healed, yes. But thank God people were healed from their sins. The Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. That's not talking about physical healing. That's talking about the spiritual healing we can find only in the person of Jesus Christ. But gigantic rifts were made into his castle. His stronghold was left tottering. You see, one infinitely stronger than Satan had entered his ramparts. As a matter of fact, the one who created Satan entered its ramparts. Jesus ripped up the cornerstone of death. He cast it away, ensuring that Satan's entire kingdom would one day crumble to the ground. When the stone was rolled away from Jesus' tomb, it was a prophecy that the devil's kingdom would indeed one day collapse. All the powers of darkness were ultimately defeated when Jesus came forth from that grave. Brothers and sisters, the stone being rolled away from the Lord's tomb should give you glorious hope. I'll admit evil is still mighty, but one day evil will come down. Right now, spiritual wickedness reigns in high places. If you don't believe that, watch the evening news. The vast majority of this world still clamors for evil. Many nations still sit in thick darkness. Many chase after the scarlet woman of Babylon. Others bow before the crescent of Islam. Still others before the blocks of wood and stone that they've hacked out with their own hands. This world is still full of cruelty today. I admit all that. But through his resurrection, Christ has given such a shiver to the whole castle of evil that every stone is certain to fall. Brother Roy, what are we to do in the meantime? We have to but use the battering ram of the gospel. Fight from our knees in prayer. Unite with our fellow brothers and sisters. Gird up ourselves in the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Hold on to the glorious word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And watch to the end with all perseverance and make known the mystery of the gospel, and the walls of Satan's fortress will come down. My friend, my prayer for you on this Resurrection Sunday is the rock that rolled has spoken to you today. Christian, my prayer this morning is that the rock that rolled has breathed reviving life into your weary bones. May it result in you fighting the fight of faith to the very end. May it cause you to look up, for your redemption is rapidly approaching. Lost person, may the resurrected Christ drive you to your knees in repentance this morning. May God grant you the new birth even today. May God bring you to the point that you believe in the resurrected Christ. Well, Roy, I always have believed Jesus rose from the dead. I may not be a Christian, but I believe that. I'm not talking about that kind of belief. I'm talking about a belief from the heart that anchors all that you are in his promises, all that you are in his word. You've got to believe that Jesus died, graveyard dead, and you've got to believe that he rose again to live forever where you could live forever in him. If you're a child of God, you've got to believe that. And that type of belief leads to repentance. Brother Roy, what is repentance? Repentance is turning from my sin and turning to Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is a lifetime of repentance, not just a one-time act. If salvation is real, if Jesus real lives in your heart really, he's going to bring you to continual repentance. He's going to bring you to daily repentance. And you're also going to grow in your trust of Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins. Because according to John, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman, boy or girl, can come to God except through Christ. Let us stand and let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to begin this morning by thanking you for seeing my voice through this message. Lord, far above Roy Terry, we pray that you would use this rock that rolled to breathe life to someone here this morning who doesn't know you. Lord, we pray that you would use the rock that rolled to breathe revival life into the heart of myself and into the heart of every believer here today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for Resurrection Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Rodney.